5, please, of the United States versus Rodney Brock.
May it please the court. Andrea Smith on behalf of the appellant, Rodney Brock. My client, Mr. Brock, was indicted by a federal grand jury for unarmed bank robbery, as the court knows. He confessed to unarmed bank robbery. He pled guilty to unarmed bank robbery, but when it came to time for sentencing, of course, he was sentenced for armed bank robbery. Now, the result of that, of course, was that his sentence was tripled if he'd been sentenced for the unarmed bank robbery versus being sentenced for the armed bank robbery, losing his reduction for pleading guilty, and then getting an increase because the judge believed that he perjured himself about the possession of the gun during the bank robbery, he ended up getting a 10-year sentence instead of about a 3 or 3.5 year sentence. So I raised a number of points about that. I just want to spell out the facts. So I know the courts have read the brief, but the man on the street does not look at it like we do in this courthouse. My client does not look at it. He thinks if he's charged and pleads guilty on our bank robbery, that's what he should get sentenced for.
He was charged with and pled guilty to bank robbery.
No,
that doesn't say unarmed bank robbery. It says bank robbery.
Your Honor, I think there's an increased...
there's an enhancement.
There's enhancement.
You commit the bank robbery with the use of a dangerous weapon.
And I think traditionally the 2113A, of course, generally refers to the unarmed bank robbery. You're right.
You say he wasn't charged with armed bank robbery, which he could have been, I guess.
Yes, the grand jury did not return an indictment for armed bank robbery. And I know the law is, we're very on thin ice on this issue, because, of course, under Apprendi and the sentencing guidelines, that's perfectly permissible. Before I go on, I do want to say something. On page 13 of my brief, I made a mistake. I misstated the law. And when I was reading my brief last night in preparation for oral argument, on page 13, I said that Mr. Brock could have been sentenced for more than the statutory max for the unarmed bank robbery, which is 20 years, as opposed to the 25 years for the armed bank robbery. And that's just wrong. I was thinking... I stated it wrong in my brief, and I think I did not mean to mislead the court. What I meant was, of course, is under the sentencing guidelines, clearly the guidelines aren't just guidelines. They are actually mandatory, almost mandatory increases in the sentence, in a defendant's potential sentence. So in this case, he did get a higher sentence because the court found he did possess a gun during the bank robbery. So when I say in page 13... that was an error, but I think the point behind it was, of course, is that Mr. Brock did actually get sentenced to a higher sentence than he would have if the court had not found that he possessed a gun. My first claim here is really not so much an Apprendi claim.
Was he ever asked to withdraw his guilty plea?
No, Judge.
And how can he get any relief here? But when he pled guilty, he knew whether or not his possession of a gun during the robbery was an issue. He knew that was an issue in the case. The government always said it was an armed robbery. He said he didn't have a gun.
Yes, sir.
So he pled guilty, and they had a hearing to decide whether or not it's true that he had a gun. The district judge believed the teller's testimony, found he had a gun. But then he doesn't have to withdraw his plea of guilty. He just wants to get the benefit of the plea of guilty without having any enhancement.
Yes, Your Honor, that's exactly right. He did not want to withdraw his guilty plea. He confessed to the unarmed bank robbery. He did plead guilty to that. He was hoping that Judge Reagan, after listening to the evidence, would conclude that there was a problem with the evidence, and it would conclude that it was not proved by the government, by preponderance of the evidence, that he had a gun. And so he was hoping for the best of the sentencing hearing, of course, is what happened. I should state, though, that at the change of plea, the factual basis put on the record by the government, there was no mention of the gun, Your Honor. We knew that from the discovery, of course, that the teller had said there was a gun, but we also had statements from other tellers who particularly the one teller who said she was suspicious of him from the moment he walked in the bank and watched him the entire time. She never mentioned anything about a gun. She never mentioned about hearing the teller who said he had a gun tucked in his waist, about that teller saying he had a gun. So there was only the one statement by one teller, not the supervisors of the teller, not the other tellers. No one else ever mentioned a gun. So we knew it came down to one teller statement, Judge. And of course, we went before the judge on Judge Reagan on that, the district court on that, and tried to convince the judge that there was some problems with the perception or the memory or the stress of the situation of this 22-year-old bank teller who had not been working there long, that she just misperceived and thought she saw a gun when she hadn't. And of course, we didn't succeed, and that's why we're here. The issue, if I may, the most important issue I think here is not so much an Apprendi claim, Judge, as it is a Winship claim, that is whether this is a sentencing factor, of course, whether it's an element of the offense. And I talk about the 1999 Jones case, and that's the Supreme Court decision in Jones where the carjacking statute was at issue. And in that case, the government, the United States government, in its brief and its oral argument before the Supreme Court, admitted that Congress intended for the armed bank robbery to be an element of the offense. And that was 18 U.S.C. 2113D, which is where armed bank robbery is charged. And an oral argument in front of the Supreme Court, the Solicitor General admitted that Congress and agreed that Congress intended that armed bank robbery be an element. And of course, the Supreme Court in that Jones decision went on and held that carjacking and the carjacking statute, which was modeled after the federal bank robbery statute, that injury to a person was an element. It was not a sentencing factor. So up until Jones, of course, there's not much support in the law or in the guidelines for the fact that someone, for the Mr. Brock's assertion here, that someone should not be charged and plead guilty to unarmed bank robbery and then be sentenced to armed bank robbery. But of course, since Apprendi, when both Justice O'Connor and Justice Breyer agree or admit that the Apprendi decision strongly suggested the guidelines may be unconstitutional, and then of course the Jones decision, when they talk about in dicta, of course, in the Jones decision, in dicta, that Congress intended for the armed bank robbery to be an element. So we know that this area of the law is changing. We know that from Jones, we know that from Apprendi. What's elements and what are sentencing factors? And what we're getting down to, of course, is that Mr. Brock asserts that this is a sentencing factor that had to be charged, he had to have pled to, or had to be proved beyond a reasonable doubt, not a sentencing factor under the guidelines. And of course, this calls into the entire scheme, the sentencing guidelines, and Mr. Brock asserts that it's unconstitutional. And we're hoping that this court and maybe the Supreme Court will see that we're on the leading edge of this changing area of the law, that sentencing factors, especially where it becomes the gun possession, not so much maybe leadership issues, as the courts know those are sentencing factors, or amounts of drugs, those can be sentencing factors, but gun possession just seems so basic and seems such a natural part that it should be an element of any crime to be charged and have an increased sentence based on that. And of course, as the government admitted in its briefing and oral argument, Jones, Congress intended it to be that. So I'm hoping this court will consider that issue in the case on the Apprendi dissent, talking about what are sentencing factors and what are elements of the offense. The other issue I just want to address real briefly, of course, is that the district court below said it had no discretion whatsoever to give Mr. Brock a reduction in his sentence for having pled early, quick, having confessed to the crime, having agreed to the search of his car, consented to the search of the car. Judge Reagan indicated that he thought he should get some kind of cut in his sentence because Mr. Brock did not put the government to its burden of going to trial. And Judge Reagan said, well, unfortunately, the law says you get all or nothing. If you don't agree to all of your relevant conduct, you don't get any acceptance or reduction of responsibility. And of course, I cite a number of Seventh Circuit cases where the defendants did get reductions for acceptance of responsibility, even though they went to trial, which of course Mr. Brock didn't even go to trial. He pled guilty and did not put the government or the court to the time and bother of a trial. So I assert that it, Mr. Brock asserts it should be remanded back to the judge on that basis, and to let the district court below know he does have the discretion to give a reduction for acceptance of responsibility, even if he finds the obstruction of justice, even if he finds the gun increase. Thank you all.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, my name is Richard Lloyd. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney, and I was the trial counsel in this case, and I feel like I am the personal government trial attorney for Mr. Brock, because I had his other case 7-11 years ago for a possession with intent to distribute crack cocaine, conspiracy to distribute crack cocaine, and use of a firearm during a drug trafficking offense. I want to make one point right from the beginning, and I was brought up by this court, that there is no such crime as unarmed bank robbery. There's aggravated bank robbery, and then there's just plain bank robbery. The district court gave the defendant in this case a 5-level boost in his offense level based upon the brandishing possession of a firearm. If you look at Title 18, 21, 13, and all the subsection, there is no such crime as possession or brandishing of a firearm during a bank robbery. There's aggravated bank robbery, which entails the use of a firearm, which is modified by an assault which occurs during a bank robbery, or putting a life in jeopardy. The brandishing possession of the firearm is a sentencing enhancement. It's a sentencing factor. It's not an element of the crime. Now, this is not an Apprendi type situation. There's no way to go from 2113A, which has a maximum penalty of 20 years, to 2113E, which has a maximum penalty of 25 years. There was no plea agreement or written plea agreement or written stipulation of facts in this case, because the parties disagreed whether or not the defendant had a firearm during the commission of this case. I believe that the district court correctly denied the defendant 3 points for acceptance of responsibility, because he lied to the Belleville Police Department during his interrogation. He lied to the probation officer, and he perjured himself under oath. District court had no alternative than not to grant the defendant 3 points for acceptance of responsibility, because he denied all the relevant conduct regarding the firearm. If there are no questions from the panel, then I will yield the remainder of my time.
Thank you, counsel. Yes, you can.
Let me just address something that Mr. Lloyd raised, and that was that he said that the district court had no discretion to give him any kind of reduction for acceptance of responsibility. Of course, if you look at 3E1.1 of the sentencing guidelines, accepting responsibility and truthfully admitting relevant conduct is only one of the factors to be considered in by a court in making the decision about whether someone should be given a reduction.
You have seen many judges give a reduction when someone lied on their oath, have you?
No, Your Honor, especially in the Southern District of Illinois.
I don't think any place do they give them an award for it someplace else.
No, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
But I think the court does have the discretion. It does have the... there's no Seventh Circuit case I know that says the court finds obstruction, finds perjury. You cannot get all 3 points for the even if you save this court the time.
Thank you very much, Rito. Thank you, counsel. We will proceed to case number 7, please.